So I'm turning this morning to the Gospel of John chapter 4, and I begin with verse 46. So Gospel of John chapter 4, beginning with verse 46. So Jesus came again to Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. I'll be thinking of this wonderful miracle the Savior wrought for this man that came to him, the nobleman. And our subject this morning is everyone has a deep need. Everyone. If you don't seem to feel it now, you would know that soon. Everyone has a deep need. And this wonderful miracle that the Savior works for this man shows that very clearly for us. Obia wo ehiade bia emu entuna ehena kuma mpa. Says this is a wunhunu a make sure say nche ya obehunu. It says sana ya brabo etie. So we go to this man and our text begins with Saul. Well, it begins with Saul because it's explaining why the Lord Jesus Christ came to Cana. The Lord Jesus Christ came to Cana because he knew that in his own country, which is Nazareth, they would not receive him because a prophet has no honor in his own country. He's not saying that it will always be so, but where they did that and these people were not willing to receive him, the Lord Jesus Christ will not go there. Now, Cana is different from Canaan, I'm sure you know. Canaan refers to the entire stretch of land in Palestine. But Cana is actually a community which is really about just 2 or 3 miles away from Nazareth, but really about 25 miles from Capernaum. So this is a community of its own. And so the Lord Jesus Christ comes here. So Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee where he made water wine. You remember in chapter 2 we've been told that wonder that the Savior did when he came there the first time. And this is going to be the second miracle as the last verse of the chapter will tell us that the second miracle, not since he began his work, but in Cana. Because the first one was turning water into wine, and this would be the second in Cana. Because the Lord Jesus Christ would have gone to Judea, and they would have wrought miracles there, and he was coming back to begin what is called the Galilean ministry. He's going to spend some time to minister in those regions, then he will go back again to Judea. And so, this is why we are giving this detail. Radius to Christo na wabasa Cana. Na wankon wankasa ni krom ni Nazareth na esan se oni mse wo enje no inti oba Cana ha Cana na me chase se enye onu ankasa ni Canaan ayeta aka no Cana ni sa asase ni nyina yankopon di ma Israel fo no ba Cana de na ye kro kitu abia ebe Nazareth eni Capernaum nyina inti Radius Christopher Haisan said, "Na obeye samu dia etosumi ni di di kai ni bra ama insio edane ensano ni etosumi ni enye se ni wamu dia etosumi ni fiti bro shini juma asi ni dabi na wa ko Judea akoye wamu dia ohodeta." Now we think of this man, verse 46, and there was the second part of that verse, and there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick in Capernaum, and that is one of the things that brings our lesson to mind. This is a nobleman. The Greek simply means that he's somebody related to the king or related to the kingdom. So they call him something like a caretaker. Somebody was working in the court of the king. And so this was an important person. Today we call him a presidential staffer or something like that. Very close to the president and really having access to everything you can imagine. Whether to the best doctors and whatever the king may call, he would have it. And so this is this important man. And yet he had a son that is sick and sick to death. A son that will die unless something happens. And that's the striking thing. You must assume that with his position, he would have accessed whatever help he could, whatever health professionals he could lay hands upon. He would have tried to get their services, but all to no effect. And so this man's son is now sick in Capernaum. And this man travels all the way from Capernaum to Cana, as we mentioned. That's about 25 miles. I wanted to do my calculations from Accra to where, and I didn't do that well, so I don't want to try, otherwise I get it wrong. But anyway, 25 miles is quite a distance, and this man will have to walk. Or we had an ass or something like that. Being a Ketia, probably would have had an ass, and then he would have traveled with that. And so he was going all that way. And this is, again, I repeat, this is an important personality. A man of standing. A man of influence and power. But he had a problem. He had a deep-seated problem. Very close to him. That he feels it well. A son. Not a servant, that's another person. He has a son. And that son is sick. Not with any ordinary sickness, a sickness that would kill that son. And so the man was urgent. The man could feel the need very well. Sa papa no in impact yet. Na and so na our how kasir. It sounds an ebayaria. Nebayaria could sise a banukrabit miewu. And tipa pay or be radio secret source or be hunumobro. Now I saw Nanti a quintintin urban son with Wabai radio secret source. Friends, see, and that's the first part of our lesson, dear friends. And this is particularly true for young persons. Please, don't think that there's any condition in this life, whether status or whatever, that can cover you entirely from the troubles of this life. There's none at all. Don't be fooled. Some people think, oh, if only I had all the money I want, and I had all the connections in society that I want, then I may have no problem. So if I have them at all, I can easily solve them. You will be able to solve some of them. You'll be able to deal with some of them by all means. But everyone, this is why we are in a fallen world. Everyone will one day or the other be faced up with a problem that will be so, so difficult to deal with. That will cut you right to the heart. Something that will bow you low. It doesn't matter your status. It doesn't matter what you have. This is one of God's indicators to us that this is a fallen world. You know, wherever you go, I told myself I don't have to be picking too much from this, because yesterday we had a naming ceremony together. We heard all kinds of interesting things. But anyway, the thing is this, wherever you go, this is people's fear. And so people are making all kinds of declarations. You know what those prophets declare? I declared I will never be in trouble. In fact, I heard a song recently. It's saying that I declared I will never be poor. And then I will never be hungry. I will never be sick. I said, sir, are you sure? So you see, the truth is, they are picking up all their fears and wishing them away. And they are saying, I declare a thousand times, they will never go away. It's Almighty God that says this is how things will be. We would always have problems. You make sure you may be relieved in one part, then you would have to struggle with another part. The part you struggle with may be different from mine. But everybody will have a really cutting edge problem. Everybody. Obia benya how be wana brebo mwa. We ye dia and free horse they say a free one suffer from being subaba. Ya would be dear a pray wa brebo say in a hammy pan. It be a baby friend for me dear. But Mr. Benya media, what's the Benya with you see? And then Kofu, when you want, baby, or you bet me out and have problems in your life, free ho, then Chia Maya, you're sorry, you're cutting free ho, there being a sin as I see here. If we were living in paradise with Adam and Eve not falling, then that would have been our case. But not now. And so everybody would have to deal with a problem. But friends, the biggest question is, where will it drive you? Because they have the power to drive you somewhere. They have the power to open you up to all kinds of ideas. Because I have this problem, now I believe so and so and so. The problem is, what will they make you do? What will they make you willing to accept and embrace? What will they let you begin to spend the rest of your life pursuing and taking more seriously? That's the greatest question. Because they can send you far away from God and make you hardened towards Him. And yet not because there was no help, but because you refused God's own help. You refuse to face up to the fact that this is how things will be, but God has a way to help us. There was a time I was listening to the BBC, and there was this lady, and my dear friends, one of the things that we want to warn young persons about, how you define success, huh? Because in the world now, success simply means anything you do and it fetches you enough money to live comfortably. It's success. You don't worry about what is it. You only worry yourself about what it gives me. It all becomes selfish, isn't it? There was this young lady that had become a prostitute. And we interviewed her and said, so why did you do that? Why did you get into that lifestyle? You know her answer? Because I want to succeed. So you see, she was coming from some of these poor countries that she emigrated to the United States or so. So there must have been a problem there in his country, a challenging situation. And then she thought, this is the door open for me. If only I yielded my body to all kinds of things, then I can get whatever I want. Did she have a problem? We believe she did. Were the problems perhaps most difficult? Probably yes. What did it make her do? Is the question. You see, my dear friends, there are problems and I repeat, they can harden you against God, and that will be throwing away your soul. So you are not only having problems here, God will have to judge you too. So, but thankfully, look at what this man did, because here he's an example. Verse 47. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. This was good, wasn't it? It drove him to the Lord Jesus Christ. Even if he had to travel for miles, he would do it and come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he came. And this is the encouraging thing. Whatever the trouble is, will it bring me to the Lord? But you see, even when he was coming, there was a problem. The Lord addresses that quickly in verse 48. Look at verse 48. Then said Jesus unto him, except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. Papa, no, I need your power. Iradi Jesus Christ, also, I bet you shame, woe, and in chain. Now, Obaya, no, Iradi Jesus Christ, do you can't care? It's the same way, and Chadini, one way, dear, more ending. The Lord Jesus Christ is not saying, you know, you really need to see signs and wonders for you to believe. So, in fact, if I show you one, you will believe. That's not what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying. The Lord Jesus Christ is addressing their mindset. He's saying, this is what's in your mind. This is what is in your mind. You are thinking that we need signs and wonders before we believe. Now, they are partially right, except that they've taken it too far. Partially right, because when the Messiah came, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he came, one of the things that God had told the people of Israel to watch for was the signs and wonders he would work. This was a clear testimony. When the Lord Jesus Christ came, the Messiah will work wonders. And so the Jews have primed their minds that when the Messiah came, one of the things that would make them see that this is the Messiah would be the wonders that he wrought. But it will never be as their demand. They are not the one to say, well, hey, we come. Are you the Messiah? Show us something. That should never be their situation. When the Messiah came, because in the Bible, the Messiah was always a divine Messiah. A Messiah who will be God. And so he will sovereignly manifest the wonders as he chose. They were not the ones to be asking him. So remember, that was why whenever they asked it, the Lord Jesus Christ refused. When he willed it, he did it. You see, they were not supposed to be the one to dictate the issue. It was the Lord to dictate it. And so they were getting it wrong. And so the Lord Jesus Christ is saying, you see, this is your mindset. Unless you saw some miracles, you will say, we don't want to believe. He's not even talking about believing unto salvation. We will not even believe him to be the Messiah to come. and unless you saw it. And the radio is Christ shepherd and all say, "Mud yes, mo enhu enwa wadi na mo engine di." Na ye chira se se, enye di radio is Christ can say. Oh, and yet, when you are pa, and you say, Yan, some woman in the junction, maybe a back or crash. And you say, Rade, I can. A radius Christopher Soccer shows us, I dream of showing Jim was said. One answer will be such a young woman, dear Aunt Son of Margie, and you say, Young Pump, a sea idea. A son said, A radius Christopher, no one can say best one, obeying Young Coupon, some sign of Ebano, obeying Young Coupon, or no. Obey someone who didn't blow up him the actual said it for young couple, and as I said, only a Jim Connor. Nasa, Momo Bissadia, Radio Christopher Enye. Friends, you know why I'm spending time on this? Because you see, there are people, and no, we can all fall into that. Let's begin with the problems again. I have problems, I have life. Wrenching problems, very trying, difficult circumstances in life. And then you know the big mistake people do. Now they want to dictate to God. Oh God, if you are there, solve this problem for me. Then I'll know that you are there. Ah, you know why? God is merciful. He may sometimes show you mercies in a way you don't expect to move your heart to seeking. But don't do that. Don't be asking that kind of thing. Because you see, He is the Lord. He determines what to do. He determines what and when to do it. You don't dictate. He is the Lord. If you don't remember that, you will never come to Him aright. Don't come. And this is what is hindering so many people. It's in their heads. If there's God at all, why does He not solve this problem that I have for me? Does He not feel it? Is he insensitive? No, God is not insensitive. No, God feels my troubles. He knows what I face. He knows the tears that I shed. And He knows these struggles. But because He's all-wise God, He knows what exactly will be of help to you that you and I think. The starting point should be to recognize Him as God and to come to Him as such. If you don't, oh my dear friends, you will so hinder yourself. And so the man is saying, when the Lord said that, well, don't be asking. Throw away that mindset that we must see signs and wonders before. Friends, truly, sometimes this is the most difficult part of it, isn't it? I can illustrate it. Why it seems so difficult. Oh, here I am. I come. I have a swollen leg and it's very painful. And I'm seeking help. And I come to you. And I really think that my trouble is my leg. And I'm asking you to help me relieve the pain or heal it. And you say, okay, I'll give you a cup of water to drink. Okay. Well, everybody will say, oh, sir, you don't seem to know my problem. My problem is my leg. I'm not thirsty. I really think I drank water a few minutes ago, something like that. It's my leg that I need. But friends, let's tell it a little bit. Supposing this person knows everything, and he looked at your leg and said, oh, this will not be true medically, so I think you forgive me. But he looked at your leg and said, this man has not been drinking the right water. So I'm going to give him that water that I have here. And I'm sure it will solve the leg problem, but not only that, it will deal with so many other problems also. Not only cure the leg, but actually cure the cause of this problem. If I understood it, I would take it, wouldn't I? But it's because I didn't understand. My eyes are just upon my leg, my swollen leg, my problem. And so the Lord Jesus Christ says, you want signs and wonders, my dear friends. Don't ask it. Don't demand it of me. Because I'm the Lord. I'm not going to do it at your command. You don't ask it. I am the Lord. You come to me as the Lord. And you are willing to cast yourself at my feet. Yes, you may cry out your problem, but bear it in your mind. I am the Lord. And I can deal with you in a way far more glorious, far more profitable than you can ever imagine. You see, when you come to the Lord then, It requires you to see who he is. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ would do, friends. And we have been that problem. This is why I'm sure you know, many people have made themselves the ones. Of course you understand that. We all did that years ago. They determine, they say that they determine where they want to go to worship. You know, I want to go to a place of worship where, you know, in the course of the week, my work has been very tiresome. I just want to go to a place, you know, where they will load me with all these Bible, and my head aches with all this Bible. You know, they just water it down. It just makes a bit of entertainment, really refreshing me. I can sit down and be entertained by all this wonderful music, then I can lay back, and then I can really breathe in well and then go back home and say, I'm refreshed. I've really gone to the house of the Lord. Now, who is determining that? I am the one determining it. As if I'm the beginning and the end. As if I am the supreme being. Can't you see how wrong it is? I want to determine it. I want to determine what Almighty God should do. You see how offensive it is? No, my dear friends, so this is the beginning. I come to God. Though I have these troubles with me, I come and say, oh Lord, I have these troubles, yes, but I lay at thy feet as someone who recognizes the fact that you are the all-wise God. Deal with me as you wish. Are you willing to say that? Are you willing to come before the Lord in that way? Friend, that's the only proper way to approach Almighty God. If you don't learn this, you will miss how he blesses, how he deals kindly with us. He wants us to go to him and acknowledge him as the all-wise God, and not as one we have to advise him and counsel him. Nyankopon pese akonenim se ono oye nyankopon enye se ye ne kama no afutu ewrade mi wo problem. So why yen say dear mammy dear? And so come in the senior and copon via a woko. There be em quim radi in say. So the say radi was say radi share. Coninim senior and copon. Nama no and you in this senior and copon. Na, South Quin is no bishra, young crab. And so the Lord has to rebuke this. It's a kind of a gentle rebuke. Verse 48. Then said Jesus unto him, except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. Unless you saw this, you won't believe. But I'm not going to do signs. So when I'm reading into the passage, because he said that elsewhere, I'm not going to do the signs and wonders to satisfy your curiosity. I am the Lord, and I act the way I choose. And that's exactly how the Lord would do. You remember the if you read your Bibles, you remember the narrative about the two brothers there, Jacob and Esau. Remember that? And the particular point is this. Esau has made himself a wanderer. He goes around. He's a hustler. He never stays at home. He walks all over the place. You know what brings him home? When he's hungry. And so when he's hungry, you find him home. When he's full of food, he goes at some of the young men here like that. When he's at home, you know he wants food. And when he gets food, well then, he has nothing to do with home. So he goes roaming, and then he comes back like that. You know? So you see, when he came home one time, and was really famishing, was really hungry, see what foolish thing he was willing to do. He asked his brother for food, and the brother said, well, why didn't you sell me your birthright? Agree with me that I'm the older, you are the younger. Would you agree and I'll give you food? And remember how he reasoned, if you remember that passage in the Bible. He said, he thought to himself and said, old age, where am I taking that? I don't care. Okay, I agree. Now, you are the eldest, give me food. He ate it, just walked away. You know why the Bible has these narratives there? If you let any need at all, any material, friends, it's difficult, I know it's difficult. But it's because we're dealing with God that we have to remind ourselves. If you let any need at all in life so become too important for you than God himself, you'll be so open to all kinds of foolish decisions. And you throw yourself into all kinds of foolish things, and they will hurt you, they will hurt me. Please remember that. This is why there's a God in the world. This is why God rules this world. There's a place to go. There's a Savior we can go to. And so don't think, this is the only thing I think is my problem. If somebody can solve this problem, it's a health struggle. It's a marriage issue. It is something with a job. If all it goes away, that God, I will worship it. Don't say that. Because that's a sovereign ruler. A God who rules this world and his own arrangement about how our lives should be lived. Listen to him, what he says, what my real needs are. And possibly even the cause of that problem. Listen to him. Otherwise, I set myself up above him. I say, I know better. I know all my problems, really. Well, if you know them, go and solve them. And so, dear friends, it's difficult. But that is what the beginning of faith in God is like. You say, even though I'm really pinched very much by this trouble, I recognize the fact that there is an almighty God over all. My life is under him. He's a sovereign, all-wise God. I will bow to his explanation of problems and the solutions. I will go to him. If you're not willing to do this, you will let your own problems take you to all kinds of places. And you are very far from him. And my dear friend, like that young man Esau, you remember that later he came back. He thought all that he did was just fun. As an elder son, he was the one the father used to bless. And he thought the father didn't hear it. So he can just go in secretly and get the blessing and go away again. But God heard. And so God changed it and made sure he wouldn't get the blessing. You see. And so, my dear friends, this is so important. So look at how the Lord Jesus Christ dealt with this man. Watch that he did it in such a way that he will recognize that he is the Lord. It's so beautiful. Look at verse 7. I beg your pardon, verse 49. The nobleman saith unto him, Sir, come down where my child dies. So he's insistent, he's urgent. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, Jesus saith unto him, Go thy way. Thy son liveth. Not as he expected. He's coming to call him. Please come with me to my house. And then the Lord Jesus Christ says, You go. Your son is living. You see, the Lord did it in such a way that his eyes would be moved from just coming to get something from the Lord so that he will learn to put his trust in him and in his word. Go. I'm not coming. I'm not getting into contact with your son. I'm not coming to your house. Go. So how was this man going? If he was going and somebody asked him, Sir, you said you were going for the Savior. Where is he? He didn't come. So why are you coming home? You know what he would have said? He had told me to go. See, now his words are important. Not what he thought about him, but his words. He had told me to go. That's why I'm going. If people laugh at him and say, come on. That might supposed to be a miracle worker. You should come and touch your son or something. Say, no. He's told me to go. His words now. You see how the Lord did it? He's moving his mind away from merely thinking, I must dictate matters, to learn to rest his focus upon what the Savior says. And this is what brings us to know him. I think this is all my problem. If only God would deal with this problem, then I'm sure I will be a Christian. It's not true. If you are not willing to listen to his words, what he says about us, and who we are, and why we have problems, and why we have troubles, if I'm not willing to listen to him. Please, this is something very common, but I want to say that very carefully so that I be very fair. Again, please, with all due respect, you know how, I don't believe any one of us do that here, but I'm sure you see that on a television where there's always a constant repetition of women going to their prophet and saying, oh, you know, my husband. And then the prophet's always giving them all kinds of, okay, get this oil, sprinkle that on his food, get this water, sprinkle that on the bed, and all this kind of, it's always on my husband. And you see, one of the striking things was that nobody, in fact, I think I should reverse it too. You know, don't hear that often. Let me reverse it to be fair. So you have perhaps some men that was, oh, my wife, because then if it's not prophet this time, probably two friends. Oh, my wife is my headache. My wife and all this kind of thing. They keep saying that, and perhaps something else is done. But the point is this: you never find these supposed prophet telling them, dear woman, dear gentleman, you sit down. These are your duties that the Lord has said you should be doing. Are you striving to do it? Are you trying, asking the Lord to do it? See, nothing about what God has said. Let me receive His blessing. Let Him intervene, come to my house, and somehow, by some power, subdue my husband or wife, turn him from that devil to an angel, and make him more generous to me, or things like that. And then I think I would know that God really lives. What about what He has said? It's not important to me. Oh, dear friends. And so the Lord Jesus Christ was training this man. Listen to what I said. Dear friends, do you want to prove the Lord and know who He is? Then you must begin by listening to His word. Are you willing to say, yes, I have troubles in life. I'm so challenged. Many challenges. You know, these are bound to come. I truly need help. But what has God said? What has He said about that? They would have learned that He said that all my problems have their roots in my sinfulness. I want to go my own way. All my problems have their roots in my desire to go my own way. It could be this particular problem my mind is on may not be due to my sin, but it could be the consequences of some sinful choices I've made from the past. And this is one of its end results. And I would want to recognize this. Or at least you say, the Bible teaches me that the troubles of life are here because I am a rebel and I live in a rebellious world. And I've made contribution to that rebellion. It's Almighty God who owns this world must leave me a reminder that I have been a rebel and I contribute to that rebellion in this world. And so what's the way out? The way out is to simply go to Him. This time not concerned only about that particular problem. Yes, I may bring it to Him, but my problem is, how will He deal with the whole case? How will He wash me from that sin? How will He change me and make me a new person? So that I no longer stand a rebel before Him, but I stand before Him as a child. God's solution is this, that I want you to first become a child. Then your prayers and your cries will get to me, and I will answer them. I want you to first of all come and feel shame over your rebellion. Then I will deal with you as a son. Would you listen to that? Would you listen to that? Would you take that seriously? Or you say, no, I think my solution should be this way. Oh, dear friend, don't do that. Because you're dealing with Almighty God. And He is the all-wise God. Let's say, Irradi ni papi di okwayamba obema pepano. Na jinyamba Irradi di okasu. Nti oba Irradi hono. Di Irradi ka ene se. Oba sa obe fre Irradi Yesu Christo akoni fie. No, I was standing by now, all year, it will no yare. Now, or by any radius, Jesus Christ, uncle, your catcher, no one said, uncle, then a banner no heart to him. Yes, if I find a tear right now, but scripture and catcher, so tear nuts and no coy. Then the air can say, I didn't know Papa no coy. Woman says, so be she and no say, ah, no, who can't say, who can't pray radius, Jesus Christ, and over him. To be young, I said, oh, see me, uncle, then a banner no heart to him. We will say, we have been saying, I feel the ordinary air, cheery, dear, or kind, you know. Sanya says, won't you mean because I will be ready in charge, but she ain't showing in chain. And so, person will really free their worker. Their worker first started, you know. Their worker for my bread was said yet, you know. And you may person will really free. na mi ayise mitri mu se meti mi afa kwan bi se konya insha na ewa na nche. Oh my dear friends, listen to you. Friends, this is one of the greatest helps in the Bible. You see, we all wish, parents know this very well, sometimes you have children that may be crying for something, probably something that belongs to his brother, and he's crying for that. No, I want it, and I want it. And the parent is trying to say, no, that's for your elder brother. Go to him and say, please, can I have it? No, he doesn't want to say that. It's a toy in the house, and he wants to grab it. And he wants to try to, no, that's how you do it. Go and say, brother, please, can I play with your toy for 30 minutes, something like that. He doesn't want to do that. Well, parents know the importance of that and say, well, you have to learn that. And sometimes we are like that, aren't we? I must get it. What does God say I should do? I don't care. I want it. You see? Of course, Almighty God can never contradict himself. He will give it. He will bless. He will hear you. Because you want to go your own way. You don't want to listen to what he said about the thing, about the situation. So that prayer, that cry will be heard. And so, my dear friends, this is the help for us now. Do I come to the Lord? Do I have challenges in life? Everybody does. But would you come? And come to the Lord, recognize his majesty and say, oh Lord, though I have problems, I recognize I'm dealing with you. Deal with me according to your own will and wisdom. Grant me understanding of how I should see my problems. And if I'm not converted, it will begin there. But I'm a rebel. I've never lived for him. Here am I. I've been so selfish, and I want to be selfish again. I've gotten from the Lord many mercies and enjoy them. Now I have problem. I've never given thanks. I've never given him my heart. Now I have problem. I want to come and grasp others too. That's not fair, is it? It's not fair. Why? If I've not been grateful, then I should repent. Sorry. And own up what I've done. And seek mercy. And there's mercy with God. He can forgive. Even though I've been ungrateful in the past. And I've answered with sin for all his goodness to me. The advantages in life I've taken as if they were my own accomplishment. He's been quiet. And he's been adding up to that. He's allowed you to go on enjoying that. Now he's jolted you to your senses with some troubles and difficulties. Oh, you wouldn't own up and come to him and say, Lord, I am wrong. I've been a fool to take from you and be ungrateful and enjoy it as if I made them. And here am I want to come and grab others too. You don't do that. You come and own up what you've done. Own up, Lord, I have been ungrateful. I have sinned. I have rebelled. I have lived as though I must determine things for myself. I've lived as though there's no sovereign God ruling his world. As if I am the sovereign who must determine everything. This is where I am wrong, Lord. I now bow the knee and look to thee for mercy. And because the Savior shed his precious blood, the Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary and bore upon himself the curse and all the ingratitude of our hearts, that God is able to forgive those who come to him. But friends, see how offensive it is that having been so ungrateful in the past, I come to him to grab a few more blessings and go away. And I want him to comply. And I want him to simply do it for you. Oh, my dear friends, God is God. He wouldn't do that. Because that would be for your good. If you use that to jolt you, to see what you've done, that would be good, wouldn't it? To let you realize the sad lived. So that you actually come to him. You see, Nyankopon won't mean banning chance in ya nipanoa. And mrabasin con me nya san for singing I one in chain. Na fade, we will feel no cry, me and my bum breath, me and me show my brabos to me okay say form and brabos so I fear problems by Namasha senior troubles have rebomi. me pese me ba na me se me nyi hira bi ofi nyankopon chea de maye tie no se manda se maye boni tie de mfa me ho me pese me pie twen twen ntwen kra na me begye hira bi won ntwen bi na se daabi we are the one we are real bitch na be fat de wo pe bia daabi enya sa. And so the Lord taught this man, you must now rest on my word. Now friends, this is what you need to learn. And friends, it's the beginning of spiritual life. It's the beginning of Christian life to come to say, Lord, now I know I must live my life as you say, as you tell me to live it. It's no longer my taste, my problems and how it must be solved the way I want it. It is now how you want to deal with this. Dear friends, would you come? Would you come to the Savior that way? Then you will find Him. Would you come to the Lord? Yes, you have problems. I'm going to church. Yes, I have problems. But I'm not going because of these, my problems only. I want to go and listen to what God will say about my case, my situation. And I'm willing to learn about how He would solve it. Not how I want Him to solve it, but how He will solve it. Would you come to Him? Then that would be a blessing. Friends, I say this finally. Listen to something here. I say that briefly. The room is warm, so I don't want to stay too much. And come to verse 450. Jesus saith unto him, go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him and went his way. Isn't that wonderful? He believed the things that the Lord had said. Oh, if you met him, I think you could have ridiculed him. But he believed. You see what faith is. Faith is, I no longer consider what I think should be my solution, the way to solve my problem. I say, what has God said? What will God do? What has He purposed to do concerning my case? That's faith, my dear friends. That's what it means to come to Him. When the Bible says, believe in the Lord, that's what it means. Come to Him and say, He is the sovereign God, an all-wise God. I only come to Him to learn from Him how I must solve my problems and how He's willing to deal with me. And the Bible tells us this repeatedly. He always will begin with my heart. He would want to purge my heart. He would want to deal with me. Oh, friends, He would want to deal with my character and my attitude towards Him, because it's everything. Because it doesn't matter what you have. If my character is so bad, I will ruin everything. I say, we deal with that. See, if I want His solution is always, let me touch your life first. Let me change it. Let me make you a new person. You know why that's important? It makes it possible to have continual access with you, so that He will help you throughout your life. If He should just help you and let you go, well, what if you fall into other troubles? You have no connection to Him. But He wants to establish a connection with you, a relationship with you, so that the ongoing troubles in life, He will still be the Lord, guiding you and showing you the way. Can't you see the wisdom of that, dear friends? Don't you see there's nothing else like this? No one does it that this way. Oh, friends, how this is so helpful. And so, dear friends, believing in the Lord means I come to Him and I'm willing now to listen to what He says about what the solutions to my life problems are. And I'm willing to trust Him. And in my case, if I'm unconverted, He will begin with my life and my heart and the need to be cleansed from my sin and to be made a new person in the Lord Jesus Christ, so that there will be the continual dealings with me throughout life. This is so kind, my dear friends. Let me begin to close with these words. Look at verse 51. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, thy son liveth. So he was going home, back to Capernaum, and he meets his servants. They tell him, your son is well, he lives. And then, verse 52, and this is an important point. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend. And they said unto him, yesterday at the seventh hour, the seventh hour would be something like a 1 o'clock if you're using the Jewish reckoning, I think. So yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in the which Jesus said unto him, thy son liveth, and himself believed, and his house. Why that inquiry? If he believed, why that inquiry? Your servant comes to say, your son is alive. You simply say, hallelujah, hallelujah, let's go home and have a feast. Or something like that. But he inquires, at what time did it happen? Was he doubting the Lord? No, remember what he asked. At what time? He knew the Lord's word would be effective. But I just want to see, did it happen at the same time that he said it? Because he told me I should go. And the servant described to him the time, and he realized it was the same hour. You know why the Bible gives us this record? Friends, I close with this. Because it is only unique to Christianity. Christianity is the only genuine faith, of course, that tells you we don't assume anything. We have testimony. We have evidence of what God has said. We don't simply say, oh, we believe in God. He washes away us as they make people new. That's true. But we want to see it happen as he changed me. You don't live on assumption. That would be too dangerous. Christians son angi na wumba uchim. Eradisi odi boniche. Eradisi uba nincha obejiu. Eyampa. But me anka samu wadi achimi se radi mi boni achami anaa. Mwadi achimi se radi ayo makuma fufrana. Wumba uchim. Dear friends, wouldn't you say, don't you see how disastrous it will be? Life comes to a close. And I must face judgment before Almighty God. And how sure am I that the Lord will receive me? Well, I think God forgives sins. Well, that would be very foolish. The Bible repeatedly asks us to examine, to see whether God has worked in our hearts. To see whether there has been a real work of grace in me. Are my sins forgiven me? Has the Savior really washed me? Am I trusting only in what he did for sinners on Calvary? As he worked a new heart in me. I want to see evidences of this. I don't just want to say it. Erade Yesu Kristo ahome ana ode me boni ache me ampa. Me mpese me kara. Me pese me shese si ana. One of the questions that I've always been often been asked. How would I know that I rest my hopes on the Lord Jesus Christ alone? Because by that alone are we saved. If I come to God as a sinner, I put all my trust in what the Savior did on the cross of Calvary. He bore the penalty for sin, that his righteousness may be given me a sinner, whilst he bears my sins in my behalf. How do I know that I'm trusting the Savior? To be able to say it doesn't mean you truly trust him. Say the witch me can enter. I say, why reshimu ewan swamp? We say, the Bible tells us one of the sure marks that I truly trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And what he did on Calvary alone is the fact that all of that trust will die out of your heart. Trust in myself, my self admiration. I am a wonderful person. I've not been as bad as other people. These things will go away. These things will die away. Because you cannot hold that. And trust the Savior, it's not possible. Before you would trust the Lord Jesus Christ alone and what he did, you must feel your misery as somebody who has nothing. Nothing to hold on to. Nothing to trust. Nothing to give you confidence. And so you come and need a sinner, seeking your all in the Lord Jesus Christ only. Dear friend, it's a thing people deceive themselves very much, thinking, because I say it, it means I truly believe it. It's not true in the Bible. The Bible tells us they profess with their lips that they know God, but by their lives they deny Him. Titus chapter 1. And so being able to say it doesn't mean you believe it. Check and see. Have all trust in myself. When I, dear friends, if you come to the Lord and He saves you, when you stand and look at, I don't know whether you look at yourself in the mirror or whatever, or you sit down quietly, you are thinking of yourself, you must come and draw a conclusion and say, look at me, unless the mercy of God upholds me, I am lost. I have nothing. I have no beauty. You must take the thing. When I look at myself, you say, how can I stand before God if that mercy in the Lord Jesus Christ wouldn't cover me and wouldn't receive me? With no admiration whatever in your heart. Old preachers often say, if there is 0.00001 trust in yourself, your application will be rejected. Any measure of trust in yourself makes it hopeless. It has to be Christ alone. And another thing will follow. If you are truly trusting in Him, and you've rested all your hopes in Him, you will realize there will be a wonderful sense of debt put in your soul. I owe the Savior. I must give Him my life. I must live for Him. I must no longer run my own affairs. He must be the boss. He must be the Lord. Because I was throwing away my life, He rescued it. And you want to live for Him. I could mention others. If these two things are present, you are sure. You are resting your hopes upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, my dear friends, we may have life's deepest problems, but here is a God who is above it all. He will be able to deal with them and deal with them in such a way that brings us into communion with Himself, so that throughout life He will continually be dealing with me. You see His solution? He doesn't bless one off. He wants to be an ongoing benefactor for us. That's the Lord. That's God. That's what fitting. Because He's the Lord. Let's